This is a HelpNet security interview with the authors of Exploiting Software, How to Break Code. What was it like to write Exploiting Software, How to Break Code? Any major difficulties?
This is Gary McGraw, the co-author of Exploiting Software. It took us about 3.5 years to write this book, and it was kind of hard. And the reason it was hard was we took lots of data about real software problems and real exploits, kind of attack of the day stuff, and we piled them up. And the difficult part was abstracting things away and creating attack patterns and ways of describing this stuff at a higher level than just a bunch of examples. So that took some work.
This is Greg Hoagland, co-author of Exploiting Software. I agree with Gary. I think one of the hardest parts was generalizing all the attacks, and we actually had to analyze a large number of real-world attacks to come up with the set, and that took a great deal of time. And then juggling the book against my schedule during the day of actually having to do real work was also quite difficult.
Are you satisfied with the response from the security community?
Yeah, the book has really only been out for 3 days, so it's hard to tell what the reaction's going to be just yet. But we had a lot of people review the material while we were creating it, and those people from the security community that read it were pretty happy about it. They gave us lots of good feedback, got some great blurbs from people who seem to know what they're talking about. So we're very excited about seeing the reaction of this thing as it unfolds.
During the writing of the book, I had to send a lot of the technical material to peers who would review it and make sure that I hadn't made any mistakes. That group of people was very helpful, and they were very supportive, and so that was a very positive experience.
In your previous book, Building Secure Software, you taught people how to secure code, and now you're doing the opposite. How come?
So this is an interesting question. The answer is that after building secure software, it was great that people began to focus on software as an important security thing to work on. The problem was that some people approached this from an outside-in kind of perspective. You know, if you think about normal penetration testing, network probing, that's an outside-in kind of an activity. And if you approach software that way, you end up thinking that software exploits are pretty easy. You know, you work on maybe things that are only port 80 type stuff, you know, black box penetration testing, and I find that kind of distressing. So hopefully exploiting software will be an antidote to that problem, so cut through some of the vendor baloney and make the application security people do a better job. So, you know, the idea is to really up the level of discourse in the software security space.
In your opinion, is closed source software or open source software more secure?
Right, so this is a red herring question. We thought we'd killed this one off in 1999, but apparently we didn't drive the stake all the way through the heart of the vampire. And the real answer is it doesn't matter if you have open source or closed source. Everybody agrees that code review is good. But guess what? The closed source guys have code to review, and the open source guys do too. So we all need to do that. And everybody agrees that software security issues are important and that we need to work on them. But nobody's got really the upper hand. The only thing that might tip the scales towards closed software is the fact that those guys, the people that build closed source, can pay people to do the hard activity of risk analysis and penetration testing and all this other stuff and looking for problems in software, which is tedious and hard. It's always nice to be paid to do that stuff.
I agree with Gary that it doesn't really matter. The binary can be reverse engineered and it will produce exactly the same results, and does not require source code to do this. However, source code would be really nice documentation for the binary, so it would aid, having source code would aid someone in their reverse engineering effort, but it is not required.
So if you think about this story that came out with Microsoft recently having some of their source code released, there were a lot of people that were concerned that this would lead to more security compromises and whatnot. And we think that's probably not correct, that you have everything you need to attack Microsoft software sitting right on your Microsoft box. Just disassemble it already.
What was the most ridiculous programming mistake you've encountered while examining the code?
So this is a toughie, because you have to remember what you're allowed to talk about and what you're not. And some of the most ridiculous ones are not talk-aboutable. But one of the silliest ones was a piece of applied cryptography where somebody had used the encryption key to encrypt itself, which cut the search space of possible things you had to look at in order to do cryptanalysis way down, so that you could do it in about 20 seconds with a normal box. And that was pretty darn silly, especially considering that this was a very elaborate system that people had spent millions of dollars to produce, and then they ended up making this crazy mistake. So it's really fun to find these mistakes, by the way.
I think the most amusing mistakes are ones like Gary describes. I was reverse engineering a program, and I had found a large parser and a great deal of code that was there to protect the system against a buffer overflow. And at the end of the code, it turns out they didn't even use that buffer. They used the original buffer and passed it in. So all that work was for nothing. And actually, this is also a really good example of the kind of mistakes that people will make. They do a lot of good thinking, and then one tiny mistake breaks it all.
What are your plans for the future?
We're still in that little period of time when you first get a book done that you declare you're never going to write another book. So I don't know what's going to happen for me next in terms of book writing, but I'm pretty excited to see how this thing gets it, out into the world.
For me, I have been working on a training called Offensive Aspects of Rootkit Technology, and the training material for that course has increased quite a bit over the last year, almost enough to begin thinking about possibly writing a book on rootkits.